Hey, this is ZZ from my latest sponsor, ExpressVPN. You know, Netflix has different content available to users depending on where they're located. Netflix has thousands of shows, but you can only get access to a fraction of that because of where you are. If you're utilizing Netflix without using ExpressVPN, it's like paying for a gym membership but only being able to use the treadmill. So, how does this work? ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. I'm talking like Star Trek, the original series on UK Netflix, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Canadian Netflix, Rick and Morty on French Netflix, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Indian Netflix, the Harry Potter movie series on Australian Netflix. The list goes on and on. In the Easy household, we utilize ExpressVPN, and we've unlocked so much content that my family and myself can enjoy. But then you might be like, Eric, we can use other VPNs. No. Listen, blazing fast speeds, stream in HD with zero buffering, compatible with all of your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, and it encrypts your data. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting your data so you can browse the web securely. Look, be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/Zane. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/Zane to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Yeah. Welcome. Hey, everybody. We got a birthday boy in the house. That is Ryan. Ryan's celebrating a birthday, and I want to scream it from the mountaintops. As you know, I love it when audience members tell me that they have a birthday. So happy birthday to Ryan. And may it be, I know you're going to have a great week, Ryan. I never, ever ignore when it's someone's birthday. And I especially like it when they reach out to me. Ryan didn't do it here, but Ryan, you are encouraged to announce that you have a birthday. Actually, somebody put me up to this. I can't lie. Someone said, will you please mention Ryan's birthday because it'll drive Kenny cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Kenny's birthday was announced on the radio again today. Hey, it's a BC Pizza birthday club, BC Pizza with 29 Michigan locations. And then I announce a people's birthday. And then every last one, every time I do the last one, oh, not every time. Oh, yeah, and it's Kenny's birthday in Nashville. It's your big day. I think birthdays only matter to, like, family. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. When is your birthday?
September.
September what?
24th.
I had to write that down. It'll be Rick's birthday.
Yeah.
We have.
Are you going to get his shout outs?
Yeah, you sure. You sure can. You sure can.
I know what you can get my birthday.
What? What?
Never play that Chris Cornell song again. The one you played this morning on Q100.
Doesn't Remind Me, which was originally done by Audio Slave.
I love Audio Slave's version. I love Chris Cornell. I hated that version. The pacing was all wrong, man. It was too fast.
It was, really?
Yeah. It was. I mean, that song, that's one of those songs, man, where if it comes on, I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm listening to it. And when that came on, I was like, oh, good. I haven't heard a live version of it. And, man, it was like he was in a hurry to get through it.
Okay.
He was singing a song like I Talk.
Wow. I didn't pick up on that. But that's, you know, that can mess people up, especially if it's a song that's, like, great.
Yeah, you know? And that one is. Chris Cornell is awesome.
Aram says that song is fantastic acoustic. So I guess everybody, I haven't heard any other versions of it acoustic.
Well, I mean, I would assume that most acoustic versions when they're not live, or maybe even some of them that are, I mean, would be a little bit better pacing. I don't know. You know, when you're at a show, pretty much anything you'll see, if you enjoy the artist, I think just about anything you hear, you're just appreciating the energy, and you know you're in, you know, in that vibe, for lack of a better term. But I mean, just because I wasn't at the show, if I was at that show, I might have been really into it, but I wasn't at the show, and it just seemed really, really fast to me.
Kenny writes, Chris Cornell The only Chris Cornell that's any good, well, I'm paraphrasing, but he wrote Chris Cornell belonged in Soundgarden doing Soundgarden songs. Not a fan of his other stuff. And I'm of the opinion that I don't care what he's singing. It's great.
I agree. But we know that Kenny is a little bit specific with his musical taste.
Yeah, well, specific and, you know, I mean, he's not exactly like he'll be influenced about one thing and then that's it. It can't be any other way. It's part of his dimness, I think.
Well, as far as dying on a hill, he's not afraid of it.
Oh, yeah, and he dies on all of them. But I'm actually delighted that that you listened to that, to listen to the Q100 show. I hope it sounds okay. You can always request a song, Rick.
Oh, that I did not know.
Yeah, a lot of what I played today was requested. I would say more than half of it was requested.
All right. I'll think of some stuff. I think Kenny is better at finding those B-side little nuggets of goodness. I know that, like, when a song comes on, I'm thinking, man, what a great song to follow the previous or for the mood or moment. I can acknowledge that when it happens, but I'm not good at setting that stuff up in the first place.
Did you just say that Kenny is good at picking songs?
So, you know, it's kind of like... you're not going to get that reference. I think Kenny is pretty good. I know that you and Kenny don't overlap very much. Kenny and I don't completely overlap, but we overlap some. So some of the stuff that he throws at you, I can appreciate, even if you think it's garbage. I've got some specific taste myself.
These are words that have never been uttered before on this podcast, and it's four of them. Kenny is pretty good, ..
You might have me there. Okay. We're in unprecedented territory.
April 29th, 2004, or 2024, somebody said that. So that is, that's a first.
I guess maybe I had to die on this hill now.
Yeah, you absolutely did, Rick. I got a couple welts. There's one on my little arm here. I got one on my ass from paintball yesterday. It was a good time.
It was, and I saw some paintball instinct take over for you in one of the games. It was on the airball field, and you were down bodies. I think it was just you left, and instead of just sitting back and waiting for them to get you, you decided to take matters into your own hands and come down the tape line and try to get a couple of them while they're coming after you.
Yeah, it took off like a madman, Rick. I noticed that Justin, of all people, he had a technique where, let's say, if he wanted to move up the field, and this was in the village, he's hitting one of the obstacles and he's shooting the hell out of it. And then he runs towards it to get behind another bunker. And then, you know, you can't really hear or figure out where he is. So I just kept firing. And lo and behold, it didn't work out. But that was a good time.
It was a good time. And Justin's move, I think that was Pedro he got out of one of the buildings there on the village.
Yeah,
that was a really do. And yeah, that's a good technique where you kind of use your own cover fire to disguise your move and give yourself an opportunity to get up on somebody. That was good. It was awesome seeing you do that after 24 paintball wars. Oh. We're seeing instinct show through.
But I'm telling you, man, I'm physically breaking down. The shoulder, holding the gun up now, I mean, by the end of that, my shoulder, which has just been killing me lately, was just like, okay, I have had enough. I have to end this. I'm such a withered fuck. It's horrible.
I was hoping to come out for one of the one-on-ones.
Oh, God. One-on-one with Rick. God, watching you play. You had a maneuver when you had the inflatable in front of you, but it was an inflatable that wasn't that tall. And you were crouched off to the side of it. And you shot, pulled yourself back in, and then went up over it and hit Cesar in the fucking head. Jesus, you're a shifty little fucker. I'll tell you that right now, man.
If you've done an activity as often as I have done an activity for the last 25 years of my life, and I don't know some of those tricks, then there's something wrong. Then I just haven't learned anything. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I've got a lot more experience. I've played at a few different levels of paintball, so I should win those one-on-ones. I really should, with the amount of experience and the amount of time I put in on the field.
So there's a story I want to tell you. Did you see that story about a month ago in March when the guy's vape warehouse blew up in Metro Detroit?
I think you were talking about that on Friday, and I was just listening to that before your live stream started. And he just got caught, yeah?
Yeah, well, he wasn't supposed to have all sorts of these canisters full of the accelerant, or what is it, butane or propane, I don't know what the fuck it was, inside of his facility. So it blew up like a nuclear bomb hit it, and one of the pieces of shrapnel hit a guy like a mile away and killed him. And then they like can't find the guy who owns the place. And then they caught him trying to flee the country to head off to Hong Kong through JFK Airport in New York. And now they're bringing him back.
What a Wild West industry vaping is. You know, we see little shops pop up here and there, and then the big conglomerates take over the mom and pops. And it's just, it's wild, because it was almost like it kind of happened on society before anybody really knew what to do about it. You know, when it first came out, everyone's like, oh, it's water vapor, it's completely safe.
And yes.
Then you got that pop thing, you know, and it's like, we really don't know what the hell's going on. So guys are just doing whatever they want to, mixing up chemicals in their garage and then selling them to people. What? This dude is sitting on like 100,000 pens or something.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you're not kidding, though. I remember being on a plane, and then there's a few people doing that. And then they're like, hey, what are you doing? He goes, oh, yeah, it's harmless. It's totally good for you. And I think that's like the opposite now. If you vape, you're like going to die. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I got a 12-year-old kid. I think I'd rather he come home smoking than vaping.
Right, because he doesn't look like such a fuckface. At least he's going to get some puss if he's smoking a dart.
I'm not sure if a vape has ever improved anybody's look.
I saw Gabe, the Honduran, at TC Paintball yesterday, and he had this. It looked like he was sucking R2-D2's dick in this big thing up to his mouth. I was like, what are you doing? What is that? Just smoke. Just get a pack of Camels, you idiot.
Or go around the corner and smoke a joint. I mean, something.
Oh, Jesus. What's on tap for you this week, Rick? Anything exciting to talk about?
Anything exciting? I think the entire football overall fan base is excited about the draft, no matter how well the experts graded your team. It's a fun thing because there's no real true winners and losers. You can think that you won or lost on paper, but you're still kind of excited about the prospect of these new players joining the team that you follow, you know? So it's kind of a cool thing. I'm excited about the Lions for sure. You know, they got some secondary help. They got some offensive and defensive line help. And I think that's awesome. So that's exciting.
You know, what's interesting is I hear a lot of people that bust out, a point of view, like, why does anybody even watch the draft? Why do they? And I watched a bit of it, like, on the second night. And the way they produce that thing is, let's say dude gets drafted. They have these pre-produced pieces that are like a minute long about who they are and something interesting about them. Maybe they had a hardship. They came from a troubled background, or just something interesting about these people. And I was like, God damn, that's fucking cool, because who doesn't love a story, especially a guy who just signed, is going to sign, actually become a rich man once he starts playing football.
Yeah, in this NIL, you know, era that we're in, it kind of changed things. But what I kind of like, too, is, you know, there's obviously so many talking heads, so many experts giving opinions about who's going to go where and when. So after you get through the first 5 or 10 picks, you know, it becomes a little bit more random and you're not really sure. You know, people are kind of scrambling based on, you know, who is left. But you get to see the moment that these kids get drafted and they finally are justified in the fact that, yes, I was right in coming out. I'm a first round pick and I'm going to make millions. And that's a cool thing to be able to see their lives change before your eyes. Even if they had a good idea it was coming, it's still that moment of justification. Like, yes, I put all my time and effort into this sport, and finally, you know, I'm going to get paid for it. I'm going to make millions of dollars. That's a cool moment to witness, I think.
You know who might be making some cash very soon is my pal Bill Simonson's son.
Oh, yeah. He's a big beast, isn't he?
He's a goddamn powerhouse. That little, I shouldn't say little, that big fucker can, oh my God. He is one of the highest rated offensive linemen in the nation coming out of high school. And he still has another year of football to improve. And so now he's getting like all sorts of offers from like these mid-major schools, like the Toledos and schools like the MAC, that are in the MAC. But if he has a good year, he'll be able to go to a big school and make some of that name, image, likeness money.
He's still in high school, yeah? So is he out in Caledonia? Is that where he is?
He plays for Forest Hills, one of the Forest Hills schools. I think it's Eastern.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to pay attention to him this year. That's pretty cool. That's cool, you know, somebody that you know of for a long time, and all of a sudden he's got a family member that's going to be awesome. That's cool to follow that.
So I used to make fun of his name when he was a little kid, when I was competition against Bill. Can you imagine if he remembered that and ripped my head off when I ran into him, like, down the road?
Let's hear some of the jokes. What'd you say about his name?
I forget. I think it was something along the lines of, because Bill's kids' names are Ace and Legend, and I said, oh, yeah, what's the other one's name? Captain Marvel or some shit like that, and... I don't think it was too bad, but I mean, I don't want to risk that. That guy could kill me.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, especially in your old tattered age.
Yeah, I know it. Okay, buddy. Well, I appreciate you. We had a great time last night. I'm getting ready to talk about me meeting up with a former Zaniac on Friday, face to face in the wild, and it went spectacularly. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to that. Finally, a reason to listen.
Yes, finally a reason to listen. God damn it. Shut up. All right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
Talk to you soon.
Yep. See you. There you go. Rick from TC Paintball hosting us yesterday. He is so much fun. So let's get to this. Friday, I went up north. And before I went, I mean, it's me, four dogs. And I'm going to go up north and, spend a little time by myself. Work on the roof of the outhouse, which was a story in and of itself. But I'm at the Speedway gas station near my house, and I have I'm putting gas in the tank, and I got a gas can, so I'm going to fill that up. And former Zaniac John in Jennison, also known as Biff Mayhem, I don't know this, but has seen me there. And there's 15 pumps, but he drives right in front of me and he's eyeballing me out his mirror, out his window, looking right at me, 15 feet away from me. We make eye contact and he goes, oh, God. So I don't know if he was anticipating me to just like cower, but I said, quote, ah, you fat loser. And he looks at me again and keeps driving. So I'm putting gas in my tank now and I'm waiting. I get done and I'm going to go in and get something in the in Speedway. And he is on the op now as far away as he can from me. And I'm looking at him. And the things that I noticed, the thing that popped into my head, and I didn't say this, as he's putting gas in his tank, how ridiculously round he is. I couldn't believe it. And it was, because he's got really teeny tiny legs, but it's, you know, his belt is cinched way tight and then he's round. I mean, it's remarkable. I don't think I've ever seen a person so round in all my life. He reminded me of Time for Timer, the hunka cheese guy. So I actually said out loud, John, my God, are you round? And he looks at me, he goes, what about you, dude? You've gained 50 pounds. Now, I don't know where he got that from. I'll tell you this. When I did my, when I was doing Ironmans, I weighed 156 pounds. Right now, today, as I sit here, I'm 179 pounds. All right. A little porky, to be sure. At 5'8", me being 179 pounds is not that great. I'm not happy about it. But I can fucking still do this. Fucking hey, you fat fuck. Seriously, John's like 5'6", and he had to be 340. And he goes, what about you, dude? I go, and then I didn't say a word, but I'm like sticking my arms out like this, and I'm walking, boom, 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 boom. And then there's other people that are at the pumps, and they're hearing this, okay? And one guy in particular, he goes, I'm heavier than both of you. He thinks we're kidding, all right? And so then I get into the store. I get what I'm going to buy. Megan says we have to get the security footage from the gas station. So now I realize he doesn't have any nerve whatsoever, okay? He's completely fucking backpedaling. He doesn't know what to do with me. He probably thought I wasn't going to say shit to him because I was seeing him out in the wild. Like I might cower. So then I come back out and he's got a YouTube channel that he plays his fucking, like he plays like he's in a rock band church. All right. And the church is called like, it's one of these ones that you'll see like in a strip mall. And it's called like the cross or the rock or the mountain, you know, and then people show up there and then he just crushes the guitar. I mean, the guy's really, really good at the guitar. And so he'll be on the stage and then people are there going, oh, my God, or speaking in tongues and shit. And John's like, wow, 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 wee, 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 Jesus, wee, 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 Jesus, losing his shit on stage. And so he's got a YouTube channel of him like flaming guitar shit with a bunch of white fuckers losing their minds, going speaking in tongues. Okay. And I go, and I followed him on it, and then I started calling him a fat fuck a couple of months ago. Well, he blocked me from it. So then he's getting into his truck, and he's like, he's literally trying, he's like, trying to get his fat fucking leg into the truck. Now, this guy is one of my number one nemesis on the, what do you call it? Former Zaniacs page. I can't see it, but the moles send me shit all the time of this fat fuck mouthing off. So then I'm walking out. He's getting it. I go, all right, big fella. I love the YouTube page. Oh, my God. Great job, John. So then he gets in his truck, and I get in mine. Then I texted him. Because this guy used to come over. He was one of those guys that would just come over and shit. I texted him right after that. Let's see. Where the fuck is it? I don't want to say his last name. I knew I would run into your fat ass sooner or later. Ha 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 ha. Seriously, though. Stop eating. You're going to die. Better yet, ... keep eating. LOL, LOL. Oh, my God. That is fantastic. So, that fat fuck, I am just so happy. I knew I was going to run into him once in a while. Jesus. Maybe bang on the door of, maybe like tap your wife on the shoulder, your Chinese mail order bride, and say, honey, maybe only 4 plates of mugu gai pan tonight at dinner. We might need to sprinkle on a little less MSG if possible, mama. And then I slammed the door and I was on my way up north. Megan says, I just need to know which gas station. Okay, so the Speedway across from Hartman's Chiropractic Place. Right by the cleaners there, the Jennison cleaners next to the car wash. That's the one. And this happened at, I can't even tell you the fucking time. If you're able to get this, I'll be so impressed. Let's see, what time did I send that text to that fucking fat ass? I sent the text at 2:15 p.m. on Friday. So it probably happened right at 2:10 p.m. Friday when I was walking across the parking lot. Holy shit. So this weekend, we're up north, and Benny is a skittish dog. He was scared shitless to not be at home. So he had to sleep in the bed, and then the other three normally do. So it was me and four dogs in a full-size bed. I didn't sleep a wink, and I don't think they did either. Saturday, it's time to work. I'm putting that roof on the outhouse, and I climb the ladder. And by the way, climbing up a ladder, I'm so physically defunct right now that I couldn't figure out why my calves were hurting. Just going up and down the ladder put enough pressure on my calves to make me feel like I was doing lifting weights like all weekend. Can't even fucking walk. I get up there, and this roof is so old that I'm guessing that the shingles are from 1980 or earlier. Two layers. They've been up there so long that a third layer of roof covering is on top of them. Moss. Thick, deep, green moss on top of this thing. So I rip it off. I rip the roof off. Amazingly, it's held. It's the wood had to be replaced underneath it, but it was surprisingly stable. As I'm pulling the shit off and throwing it off the side of the outhouse, there's a gigantic nest of fucking ants that is all pissed off. And they have, some of them have fucking wings. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And they're grabbing the eggs. There was a whole colony of fucking ants living up there on top of the roof. Jesus Christ. I get this thing cleared off. Get the, pop the wood off. Now I have to actually cut to size the roof, the plywood roof. And I have a circular saw. And here's the thing. I have never, ever used a circular saw in my life. The saw itself is brand new. I got it as a gift, but I haven't even... I had to put the blade on. I'm like, how the fuck do I do that? So I'm sitting there reading the instructions how to do that, and I figure it out. I'm like, okay, I can do this. So then I do like a couple practice cuts. I was like, I think I fucking got this shit. And I cut it. It was fine. It worked out. Everything about this was fine, except for the fact that I had been gnawing on my finger like a hangnail. I have this nervous habit where I'm constantly like, you'll catch me doing it on here. So I have a hangnail because sometimes I'm a little bit too aggressive and I actually draw blood. So I had just been doing that, and it wasn't great, and it hurt. But then I'm pounding a fucking nail, and I did it again. I flattened my fucking middle finger right on the exact spot where the hangnail was. And it was more than a hangnail. It was kind of like a self-inflicted gash in my fingertip. And when I hit that fucking thing, thank you, Linda. 15-minute warning, EZ, for your 11 a.m. meeting. I would have forgotten it had you not said that. Oh, my God. I'm such a piece of shit. So... it happened again. Okay, so if I'm holding a nail, I don't have a nail gun or anything. I'm actually holding the nail, pound, 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 pound. Okay, so you hold the nail, and that's how I did it. I missed the fucking thing. Because I suck at it so bad. And so then it's, I'm up there for like 10 minutes holding it. It's bleeding all over the fucking place. I finally get it to stop bleeding. I'm still on the roof, moss everywhere, ants. And I did it. I got the nail and I fucking hit it and I hit it a fucking again. Twice. Like fucking bleeding all over. Oh, Jesus Christ. Holy shit. It's terrible. It wasn't as bad as when I flattened the thumb that I was telling you about the other day when Dinah's like, Eric, did you hurt yourself? Uh-huh. Yeah. Holy shit. But Diana said, look, when you get done with this project, first of all, she made me check in with her every half hour. I need you to check in every half hour because she was afraid I'd fall off the thing. I was too. And then when I was all done, honey, I'm all done. Okay, you're not going up on the roof anymore. No. Maureen says, I'm surprised you didn't vagal up there. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Just the... I mean, the idea of if I fell off and then killed or paralyzed myself and then Diana, like the half hour comes and goes and I'm not calling her. Her like having to drive up and find me there. Look, oh, God. Holy shit. Mike Utley, thumbs up. Jesus. Or dead. My God. All right. What else is I going to talk about here? I had a list of things. Okay. So we got the interaction with John and Jennison. I had a lot of stories sent my way from you folks today. One of them that was sent to me was by Hurricane Ashley. And I need to do the mention this as a reminder. I don't think my daughter has understood yet that I'm podcasting. Pardon me. I'm podcasting right now, period. I'll talk to you in a bit, period. I'm podcasting right now, period. I'll talk to you in a bit. Put my fucking phone on do not disturb. It doesn't matter. Notify anyway. When you see a story and it's just a person with a TikTok video discussing something, it needs to be your duty going forward to then double check to make sure that that's actually a thing. Not only does that end the cycle of stupidity when it comes to misinformation, but it makes me have one less thing to do. So when I see a story come across my phone, it says that the E in the new Detroit sign was stolen. I see it, and what do? The first thing I do, check. Double check. If nothing else pops, it's probably not true. This one is not true. There's a sign that they put up as you enter into Detroit from one of the freeways that they got a lot of grief over because it was not very awe-inspiring Detroit. And kind of like when you're coming into like Hollywood, you see the Hollywood sign, you see the Detroit sign, and trouble is the backdrop behind the sign is like, you know, a hill with a fence and some shitty houses behind that. There's nothing to it. There's nothing scenic about it. There's nothing majestic. It's a gritty pile of shit look. So some jackass did a video and all he said was, oh my God, the E in the Detroit sign was stolen. And Ashley went, ah, God, fucking shit. I'm so happy about this. I got to send this over to EZ. And I got it. And of course, I do my work. This is not true. Okay. You can't fucking send me shit like that. You got to find out. God, make sure that it's current. Make sure that it's true. Isn't that hard? I mean, come on. If you see a story that sounds fantastic, it's probably not true. Aram says the guy reporting it sounds a little like Kenny, maybe. Chris says you can drive over there and make the story true, Ashley. Yeah, you could go steal it. It's not like you're doing anything right now. Ashley says you're telling me it wasn't funny. Well, what do you mean? It's not a story. It didn't happen. If that happened, it would be something I'd talk about. Of course, there'd be something funny about that, but it didn't happen. So, you know, you're kind of a twat for falling into that fucking realm of believing something on the internet that clearly is not true. If I have to look them up, you have to look them up too. Tyler writes, before sending a story to EZ, verify it on two separate and legitimate sources, then choose the outlet that has the better video if possible. See, Tyler can do it. You're just a dumb girl. Fucking knock it off. Quit being stupid. And sending stupid shit that's not even true. My God. You're sitting there, you got all this time on your hands. And you can't even determine whether or not something's real or not. I mean, Jesus Christ, it took me 30 seconds. Oh my God, this is a real story. This is fucking incredible. Ashley says, be nice. Oh, I'm always nice. Come on now. All right. You know what they are doing around there is several communities in Detroit are people put up a sign that says Warren and it's made out of like poster board. That NFL draft drew like 750,000 people to it. That was an all-time attendance record. Absolutely awesome. Very, very cool. For those folks that are watching the show, I should say the opening of the show brought to you by our friends at Irvine's Auto Repair. They sponsor Facebook and Twitch. Thank you so much for that. Blue Frost IT sponsors X. Follow me on those platforms as well as on YouTube. Now, the open and live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast brought to you by several sponsors. First of all, if you want to reach out to me, send me an email on the Shoreliners Striping inbox. Shoreliners Striping, where I sometimes moonlight. They are great. If you need the parking lot stripe, the athletic field stripe, they can help you at Shoreliners Striping. Berlin Raceway, we've got racing this weekend. Holy crap. Back at it. You can get your tickets for just $14 at berlinraceway.com. $18 when you buy them at the gate. When you buy them online, they're cheaper. Parking is free. 15 and under, free. And, of course, you can bring in a 12x18 cooler or smaller for all your snacks and your soft drinks. That saves you a ton of cash. No booze, no glass at Berlin Raceway. I'll be giving away tickets on my Facebook page. Thank you to Jennison Pool and Spa Depot. All right, Jennison Pool and Spa Depot, they're on Chicago Drive. Blue awning out front, you can't miss them. A lot of folks who install pools for a living like they do at Jennison Pool and Spa Depot, they don't even have like a brick and mortar building. Okay, they kind of do it out of their trucks. For all of the pool supplies you will ever need, Jennison Pool and Spa Depot is where you need to go. People are getting set to open up their pools. They can do that for you at Jennison Pool and Spa Depot. I cannot do that job myself. So these fuckers come over and they get it done. Best money you can spend is have somebody open up your pool for you. It is a nightmare. God damn. Usually there's like shit on top of it, you know? And you're like, okay, be careful pulling off the cover. I don't want all that shit going in there. And then if I do it myself, it's all in there. Looks like a swamp. Have them do it for you. They're also, if you want to have a pool installed in your backyard, you got to move because the schedule is filling up for this year. So whether it's this year or next year, If you want a pool installed in your backyard, they've been installing pools for over 30 years. Jennison Pool and Spa Depot. Find them online, and then off you go. As I said, located on Chicago Drive. And let's see. Hang on, let me get you the phone number. Jennison Pool. I should have had this ready to go. You can call them at 616-457-0500. All the pool supplies you need, all the repairs can be done. If there's anything wrong with your filter or furnace that or your heater that heats the pool, or get the cover off, like I said, or install a pool for you. Jennison Pool and Spa Depot. Jeremy out the door is the business owner, and I've known him for years. 616-457-0500. Mention me when you call. Okay. As Linda indicated, it is time for the Q100 staff meeting. I would love to air that with you, but it's boring stuff. So this is Act One of the Eric Zane Show podcast for Monday, April 29. I will tell you that there is a Big Fraud Thursday coming up this week, unless if Ben can't do it. I haven't asked Ben yet, so maybe I should ask him first. I wonder if he's here right now. There you are. I see you. If not, Ben, Saturday. So I'm not sure what day works best for you, but I want to try for Thursday, get that out of the way, as we will be doing Who Are the Zanes? And then we will be doing the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. All right? Thursday, if that sounds good for you, if you're good with Thursday, we can do Thursday. Let me know via text. Okay, he says Thursday works. There you go. All right, so pause in the action. I'll be back with you in just a little while to resume this show. And thank you so much. Have a good one till then. See you in a handful of minutes. Bye-bye. Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device. All right, rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app that it's going to work okay and that app, and oh my God, this is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes, they walk up to the door, they punch it in, the door unlocks, in they go. And of course, it's a video camera, so it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. Man, I'm telling you, I am just so happy that I was able to quickly get out of the first act of the show to get ready for my, with a minute and a half that I had to spare to get ready for my Q100 staff meeting. As you know, EZ, total team player in the workplace. Making my way back into the game at Northern Michigan's Q100. I love the staff meetings. I love being part of a team. I went to grab the Zoom link so I could take it, take part in the big meeting. And it's tomorrow. Yeah, I forgot because I'm kind of a jackass. So then I'm like, ah, fuck. Well, I could do one of two things. I could start the second act of the Monday show right now, like immediately. Or I could just let it breathe for a minute. I didn't do much. I basically sat here and watched some videos on my phone. I even started to get groggy. I was like, oh boy, I think I could use a nap. I could just say that the meeting went long and go crash. But I'm like, oh, fuck that. So here I am. That means tomorrow we'll do this again. It's embarrassing, I'm telling you. I can't even remember when. Okay, so like on any given day, like last weekend or last week, Linda had to say, don't you have a staff meeting? Oops. Now I'm like, okay, I got the staff meeting, and then it's not even today. Yeah, right. I want to talk to you about the governor of one of the Dakotas. What is her name? She's hot. She's such a babe. She's the governor of South Dakota. Kristi Noem is her name. I mean, just a smoke show. A lot of people say that she may be the vice president nominee for Trump. Now, she's the type of person where, like for weekends, she'll go out and like hunt. So a hot chick that hunts, like she's shooting pheasants or turkeys or whatever the fuck. She's a total hillbilly. And I mean, if I'm Trump, you got to make this chick your running mate. On looks alone. In fact, if it is Noem, where I was 100% likely to vote for Biden. If it's Noem, I'm 1% likely to vote for Trump. Just because you have to give that point for appearance. Okay? Without a doubt. Now, if she were a complete bow wow, no. She does not get that 1% point. But she looks so hot that she's going to get that one. I'm still going to vote for Biden. All right. But she just published a book. And in the book, I don't know why she felt the need to tell this. But she tells a story where she went hunting with her bird dog. She's got a dog that she didn't have very long. And this is a breaks my own rule about talking about animals being harmed. Because in this story, there are animals harmed. This actually happened in real life. And so some of you are going to be triggered by this. So if you got a dip, that's totally cool. This crazy bitch goes hunting and I'll get more into the details, but essentially what happened was the dog's name is Checkers. No, I take it back. Her dog's name is Cricket. And in this book of hers, she writes, Cricket was a wire hair pointer about 14 months old, adding that the dog, a female, had an aggressive personality and needed to be trained to be used for hunting pheasant. Okay. The book is called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Going Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. All right. Now, I have no interest in reading this book. The book's coming out next month. This is a the publication The Guardian obtained a copy. poor Cricket, who ends up getting killed, she says, when asked about why are you even telling us this, she says to illustrate her willingness in politics as well as in South Dakota to do anything, quote, difficult, messy, and ugly if it simply needs to be done. Now, mind you, most hunting experts who hunt with dogs said, you didn't need to do that. That didn't need to be done. You only did what I'm about to tell you about because you thought it was right, but that was, in fact, not right. By taking Cricket on a pheasant hunt with older dogs, Noem says she hoped to calm the young dog down and begin to teach the dog how to behave. However, Cricket ruined the hunt, going, quote, out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. So she killed the dog. Like she shot it dead because it was having too much fun. I'm not even joking. Actually, there's a little bit more to it. I got to be totally fair. By taking Cricket, Noem describes calling Cricket, then using an electronic collar to attempt to bring the dog under control. Nothing worked. Then on the way home after the hunt, Noem stopped to talk to a local family. Cricket escaped the truck and attacked the chickens that were roaming around the neighbor's yard. Quote, grabbing one chicken at a time, crunching it to death with one bite, then dropping it to attack another. There's nothing pleasant about this story. Cricket, the untrainable dog, Noem writes, behaved like a trained assassin. When Noem finally grabbed Cricket, she says, the dog whipped around to bite me. Then, as the chicken's owner wept, Noem repeatedly apologized, wrote the shocked family a check for the price they asked, and helped them dispose of the carcasses littering the scene of the crime. God damn. Through it all, Noem says Cricket was, quote, the picture of pure joy. She writes, I hated that dog. Adding that Cricket had proved herself untrainable, quote, dangerous to anyone she came in contact with, and less than worthless as a hunting dog. At that moment, Noem says, I realized I had to put her down. Well, she did it in the gravel pit. It was not a pleasant job, but it had to be done. Now, most people are saying, well, no, it didn't have to be done. You could have put the dog up for adoption, and then they would have found the right home. Or I will say this, maybe the dog can be euthanized or should be euthanized, but I think it would have to be done in a professional setting, not like the way she did it, okay? Because something can go wrong. Something like what went wrong when Noem went home, and as she's now the dog's gone, she pulls into the house and she sees the family goat, and she realized, I'm not making this up, the same day she hates the goat. So she said, you know what? I'm going to kill that goat too. And she did. She put the fucking thing in the back of the car and took it back to the gravel pit. And she shot the goat, but the goat flinched, so she only wounded the fucker. And it took off running like a maniac, and she had to chase it down and shoot it dead fucking Rambo style. Well, then this bitch turns around, and there's a crew working like on the road just off the gravel pit. They've seen all of this. And they know who she is, and they're like, uh-oh. And they turn around like they're minding their own business, but they've seen her waste two animals. My God. What a fucking slaughter. She described the goat as nasty and mean, because it had not been castrated, and she said, and the goat smelled. And the goat had knocked down a couple of the kids and ruined their clothes. Why does this woman even have animals? Holy fuck. And then she, for her to write this all in the book, and then she wrote, she realized that the construction crew had watched her kill both animals. The startled workers swiftly got back to work, only for a school bus to arrive and drop off Noem's children. Kennedy looked around confused. Noem writes of her daughter, who asked, hey, where's Cricket? On Friday of last week, reaction to news of Noem's description of killing her dog and her goat included satire. The Barack Obama advisor turned podcaster Tommy Viter, calling the governor Jeffrey Dahmer with veneers. My God. Response, particularly from dog lovers and people who hunt with dogs, simply expressed disgust. Rick Wilson of the anti-Trump Lincoln Project called Noem deliberately cruel and trash. Ryan Busey, the Democratic governor, candidate for governor of Montana, said anyone who has ever owned a bird dog knows how disgusting, lazy, and evil this is. Damn. Noem herself posted a screen grab of the story that I'm reading right now and an admission that she recently put down three horses, too. We love animals, she said, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we just had to put down three horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. This woman is a psychopath. God damn. How furious does this make you? Megan says, goats knocking kids down are some of the funniest videos on the internet. She also adds, the goat can't castrate itself. Maureen's furious. I hate this. I hate this woman so bad. My blood is boiling. Someone should take that bitch out to the gravel pit and shoot her. The animals always suffer because of dumbass humans. Man. That is rough. And for her to admit it like that, I mean, God damn. Now, I don't know. I think though that I don't know if anything can hurt her or anybody who Trump supports. You know, she has she's been a diehard Trumper from the jump. And I think it would. I mean, Trump's probably going to make her the running mate. I don't know why he wouldn't. He should have done it last time, too. Oh, man, what a babe, though. Are you kidding me? What does that say about your old pal EZ? What a shallow loser I am. My God, what a babe. All right. Well, anyway. Just an awful, awful story. I cannot believe that anybody would have the nerve to ever do that. I don't know if you're just... I don't know what that is. Can you say you're... To have the ability to put an animal down like that, I'm so unbelievably attached to my animals. If a person has the ability to do that, okay, they were never really in love with the animal to begin with. Because anyone who loves their animals would never be able to do that in any way, shape, or form. And there's a lot that could go wrong if you're not careful. Plus, it's fucking gross, all right? It's inhumane, in my opinion. The way it works here with taking the dog to the vet, I mean, it's never good. But, I mean, I'm crying all the way there. I don't even like to think about that this, inevitably happens. to our pets. I was talking with, I was looking around my room today, and our bed, you know, you have the headboard and the footboard, and the footboard is destroyed. Darla chewed the actual footboard of the bed, so it's all, it's chewed on. And I took one look at it. It's been that way for a while. And I go, you know, the only way to have a home that doesn't have numerous examples of what dogs do is to, dogs in this case, is to just never have dogs. Like if you wanted a pristine house that doesn't smell like a kennel and doesn't have dog hair everywhere, and doesn't have shit chewed up on every corner, that doesn't have various spots where the dog takes a dump, the only way that that is possible is to never, ever have dogs. Ever. That's the only way that works. And then be very meticulous at cleaning your house. I think there's only one time that I've seen someone be able to do both, and that is my pal Jimmy Minima, who his house is immaculate, and he has two dogs. At least, I think he does, unless one passed. But, because I know they're getting old. But, and I don't know how the hell he does that. I'm jealous. I'm envious. But I'm like, well, then I will never have dogs. That's the only way that this can happen. I will always have chewed up shit, because right now with four dogs, I mean, eventually these dogs are going to go to the Rainbow Bridge and I'm going to get more dogs. Okay. I will never not have a dog, and I will never have less than two dogs unless I'm really, really old. Like if I'm 99 years old, okay, and I'm losing it and my dog dies, I'm getting another dog. If I'm in hospice and they're filling me with morphine, and my dog dies, I'll be able to pull it together and say, give me another fucking dog. I have never been without a dog. The longest time I was ever without a dog, well, Queenie died when I was 16. And then I bought Sarah when I was 19. So 3 years of my life, I've not had a dog. I've always been around dogs. They're the absolute best. Are you kidding me? And this crazy bitch goes and shoots her goddamn dog in the head. And then writes about it like she did, like she's proud of it. And then during it says how much she hated the dog. Jesus. Maureen says, my neighbor didn't get another dog because he didn't want to outlive it. What do you mean? So he didn't want to live longer than the dog? So if he outlives the dog, so what? Tyler says, I told my wife after our dogs are gone, hopefully not for a long time, I think I'm done with dogs. I'm sick of the filth and the smell. No, I love it. I want more of it. Oh, I could never be sick of it. It's so worth it. It doesn't, I mean, think about what you get out of it. You get a dog, someone that's always happy to see you. And they're just so goddamn adorable. In my house, you know we have a real rich love considering the fact that they eat poop. And by the way, I figured out Darla why she eats her poop in the house. Because she knows she's done something wrong and she's trying to hide it. She doesn't do it because she likes it. She does it because she's embarrassed and she thinks she's in trouble. I feel so bad for her. My God. Megan says, I feel like there had to be a better example of how she can get that shit done that didn't involve killing animals. I think she secretly loves it, you know? I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think she likes... Because she didn't act like she had any... She didn't write of having any remorse. She probably ejaculated in her pants. You know how chicks can do that sometimes? I think they have to be having sex, but not her, because she's, it's like she shot the dog and all of a sudden there was a big spray fest going on. Right through her pants. By the way, O'Neal is at my feet right now. That's his new thing. He has to be actually by my feet. Which means if I move this chair, one of these casters is going to roll over his ear. So I got to be careful. All right. Rest in peace, Cricket, and rest in peace, Nameless Goat. Speaking of politics, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was over the weekend. That's the one with the press and all the famous people get together and they roast each other. They roast Biden, or Biden gets up there and cracks some jokes. Biden was also interviewed by Howard Stern late last week. Christian Blatt and myself will be reviewing that tomorrow on Who Are These Broadcasters? I have not seen it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Here's Biden ripping on Trump during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Keep in mind, he does not write these jokes.
Age is the only thing we have in common.
Sorry about that. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
My vice president actually endorses me. I had a great stretch since the State of the Union. But Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. Oh. What the hell? Trump's so desperate he started reading those Bibles he's selling. Then he got to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's when he put it down and said, this book's not for me.
All right, it's painful. He looks like that puppet character.
Forces me.
You know, the guy that that old man puppet? It might be Jeff Dunham. He looks like that. That's what Biden looks like. And the slurring, it's just fucked up. I don't know. Another video that I was that Brian shared with me. This is, I guess, a train on tracks when a tornado rips through, and so the tornado's going right into them.
That just took that building out.
So you got the conductor and his crew in the engine part of a train. Look at that.
Should we get away from the windows?
The shit flying everywhere.
Thank you, cover.
Wow.
Right over us.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I can't believe they're like right by the glass of that fucking train. Okay, there's broken glass.
Yeah, there's a double plane window.
We're in an emergency.
Yeah, I'm sure it knocked the car over. Let me see.
Okay, so now it's passed. He's looking out the window to see if they lost a car. Because there was several cars. They weren't moving, but there were several cars behind them, obviously, that they were pulling.
Yeah, we got trees and everything else behind us. Yeah. Yeah, it knocked the car over.
Oh. Wow.
Going nowhere.
We're on the ground.
Yeah.
Here's a
All right, so it knocked some of the train cars off the tracks. That is frightening. My God. Jesus. Let's see, what is that? Oh, I'll show you that later. Comments. The puppet is Walter. Tyler says he sounds more and more strokey every time I hear him speak lately. Yeah, it's bad. Maze in Blue 27 says he looks like he's about to die. Patrick says he looks like the Eagle Muppet. He's already, Bob says he's already done skits with Walter dressed up and acting as Biden. Jeff Dunham. That's interesting. Fuck. I am so excited about this, about the campaigns and seeing where this is going to go. Kind of. I mean, if Biden wins again, I'm a little bit concerned with how the losers are going to react to that. I'm concerned if they, how they're going to, what's going to happen if they win, if Trump wins. I'm concerned all the way around. Okay, another amazing video that I need to share with you comes to us. I talked about this on the Insane Asylum today. After all of the death talk with Christy Noem, this one will help you put it in the rearview mirror. All right. Let's see. And I think I had it. Okay, there it is.
I know they won't remember this. They're too little.
What we got here is a duck that is it's disabled. And the duck, all the other ducks that were in the you know, that were supposed to be like friends with it, hated it because it was disabled, which is pretty fucked up, you know? I mean, they're discriminating for the duck, and the duck has a wonky neck. It's like bent weird, you know? And it's like shaped like an S. So the duck was depressed and lonely. And then the lady who owns the duck introduced the duck to some puppies. And the puppies became like pals with the duck. And they're like best friends now. Hang on a second. I'll show it to you. Here we go. This is making a lot of people happy.
Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you.
I might kill the music. So there you go. See the duck's neck is kind of jacked. Actually, I need the music. You got puppies. And the duck just loves the puppies. Oh my God. I could watch a video of duck playing with disabled duck playing with puppies all day. Christy Noem would just shoot all of them with a machine gun while jacking off.
And it was called Yellow.
Christy Noem would be so furious at this video. Look at those puppies are still in the kennel. They're like, we want to play with the duck too.
Oh, what a thing to have done.
Holy shit.
And it was all yellow.
Oh my God. Oh, don't cry. You guys can all play. Isn't life great? Holy shit. I saw another one that I shared with Megan because we are both raccoon buddies and we both want a raccoon. And it was one where some guy's walking down in the wilderness and he sees a baby raccoon that's fighting for its life in the water. The guy saves the raccoon. And then you see the videos of him... It's one of those kind of like a dodo video where every time it like squeaks, they have like little colored lines coming out of its mouth. I love that. I love that so much. And then they're like feeding it, you know? And then it grows up and it's fat as fuck. And it just like they're like holding it and hugging it. It's really just made my day. Tyler says, Christy Noem would say, pound me while I pound this duck with a hammer. Cole said that the music for that last video sucks shit. But no, that's the type of music you got to play when it's something cute like that. That's cute video music. Rebecca says she wants a raccoon too. Stevie writes, Jade heard those puppies and she's looking around for them. That's her dog. God damn. Tell you what, it's it was that horrible story of Christy Noem was like countered by stories like that.
Remember,
I think I might have a second.
They're too little.
The dog playing with the duck playing with the dog.
I know that the same moments that they are never going to remember. I know they won't remember this. They're too little. But I will. I know that the same moments that they are never going to remember, I will never forget.
Okay, that's when the dog was sad, or the duck was sad. The duck was all bummed out because all of the other ducks said, fuck you, you're disabled, you can't hang with us. Okay? We don't want you around, you and your wonky neck, duck. Eat shit. And then proof that puppies are the greatest, dogs are the greatest animals in the world. They all like opened up their hearts. The other ducks were the dicks that beat the shit out of you in school. And the puppies were like the good kids. That's what that is. I didn't realize that ducks had that type of a level of intellect that they can have another duck that doesn't look quite like them and would hate them like that. That is remarkable. When I was in Grayling, I went into Tractor Supply, which is, you know, prime hangout there. And there's a guy walking around who works there with the red vest, and he's got a big fucking cowboy hat on, and he looks like he doesn't fuck around. He ended up telling me where the tarps were, but he's working in the chicken section. At the store, the local, at that store, I mean, in Grayling, it's such a fucking redneck place that when you go to the store, you can get milk and like a case of Busch beer and, hey, and give me some chickens. And you walk out of there with a handful of chickens, like real live chickens. But these were like chicks. They're babies. And so, but people there, they're not cute. They are, but not to them. They're little fucking chicks. They're yellow. They're fuzzy. They're adorable. And they've got them underneath the heat lamps to just wander around, and they eat food and they drink their water. And, you know, that's how people, well, they eat. They don't. You can't even sell fresh meat in Grayling. It's against the law. O'Neill's having a dream. You got to actually own cows and do it yourself. If you do anything other than that, like say, hey, where's the butcher section? I need some fucking steaks. They'll beat your fucking ass right there. So same thing with the chickens. You got to raise your own. So everybody there raises their own chickens. So this hillbilly's with the fucking black cowboy hat on, and Tyler writes, those hill jacks probably look at those chicks and think, chicken nuggets. So I go, hey, can I hold one? And he looks, he wrinkles up his face and he's like, what do you mean? I go, what do you mean? What do I mean? I'm thinking, what the fuck do you think I mean? I want to hold a chick. And he's like, they're not for holding. I go, what? Huh? You got something. And they, you know what else they had? They had ducks, baby ducks. Ducklings in there too. Also yellow, even cuter than the baby chickens. I mean, who wouldn't want to hold a fuzzy duck? This dick would not let me hold a duck. What kind of place is this, man? So they view it as, you know, not anything adorable. Again, this guy, that's the same guy. He probably was reading that excerpt from Christy Noem's book in the back of the store and beating his meat while that was going on. He's like, oh, God, I love her so much. And he did it right to completion. He was flinging goo everywhere. Kenny writes, my daughter has some baby chicks at the mom's house now. He adds, which is weird because I know one of her dogs over there is probably actively trying to eat them on a daily basis. Oh, that would devastate the kid. You don't want that. All right. So a lot going on there. If you missed any of those videos because you're listening to the audio podcast, you can click on the links in the show notes, and they will be there. A word about Patreon. First of all, on Friday's Lost Zane recordings, it was the intern, it was the show rap battle between Joe and Ben Glaze, and I think I rapped too. I just started listening to it. It starts at about an hour, 18 minutes into it, and it's very, very funny. Especially when Joe starts rapping. And Ben is just laughing in his face. It's just so, so fucking ridiculous. When Ben starts laughing that hard, God. And I have to welcome in a new person that I just heard from today. Jennifer D. God, where is, God damn it. I didn't have this ready. Oh. Signed up because of who are these free beers. And I told you, I've gotten a wonderful amount of people since I started doing who are these free beers. Jennifer signed up because of who are these free beers. And she writes, I've been needing this in my life. I have felt so goddamn alone for feeling this way about the show forever. Love, love, love you, EZ. I do feel kind of naughty enjoying this as much as I do. I responded, LOL, we are glad you are here. Some people ignore the glaring problems with our friends Free Beer and Hot Wings. The ones who do not, this is the show for them. Welcome and thanks for signing up. Because at the end of the day, if you loved the show, it's going to be hard to make you unlove it just because it sucks, you know? But eventually people get wore out and they're like, all right, it's just fucking boring. I can't have this anymore. So that's basically where a lot of people come from. Other ones just don't listen to the voice that it sucks and will defend it like to the death. And that's cool too. I don't care. Because the more of you that listen to that show, that means the longer that they do that show. And if they do that show, then I'm going to do who are these free beers. So I don't want anything bad to happen to any of those people. Well, except Greg. But I still want them to be able to do a show, you know? I mean, Jesus. All right. I got to get some sponsors out of the way. I appreciate you checking this out today. And again, a Big Fraud Thursday with our pal Ben Glaze. And then who are these? Ben and Eric Patreon podcast thereafter. King's Room Barbershop is where guys and chicks who like short hair get their hair cut. Online at kingsroom.net. Three locations, Caledonia, Northland Drive, 821 36th Street in Wyoming, next to the costume room. Go see them. $19 a haircut. They're great. The crew over there want to hear from you, so make sure you mention me when you go to King's Room Barbershop. Frank Fuss from My Policy Shop Insurance, online at buyinsurancehere.com. Frank will help you easily navigate Obamacare if you have to get insurance from the marketplace, and that may be someone who is in between jobs, Ashley, maybe runs their own business, or perhaps their employer does not offer insurance. Go to buyinsurancehere.com and Frank will help you. Impact Power Sports is in Rockford, Michigan. Their website is impactpowersportsmi.com. ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, e-bikes, zero-turn radius lawnmowers, Yamaha golf courts, golf carts, not golf courts. Oh, God. Golf carts. They're on 14 Mile Road in beautiful Rockford, Michigan. Go see Impact Power Sports today. Vouch store is open. Vouch.store/Eric Zane. That's where you go, where creators match up with small businesses and sell you products. Split Rock coffee, ground, or whole bean. You've got Camp Craft cocktail. You can get your Camp Craft cocktail, fill it up with your favorite rum, bourbon, whatever it may be. Not bourbon, rum, vodka, and the fruit that is inside of the jars infuses the booze. And in a couple days, you got a fruity beverage that you can mix with other things to have a great, great concoction. Try them at Camp Craft Cocktails, or try Camp Craft Cocktails on the Vouch Store. That's at vouch.store/Eric Zane. All this shit is in the show notes. And then, of course, Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. 616-532-6600. Love them. 616-532-6600. Get your vehicle repaired at Irvine's. They've got loaner cars so that you're not in the lurch while your vehicle is being repaired. Speaking of being repaired, I think I am in need of some repairs. Okay. Now, I've been talking about this right shoulder forever. And every time I make a goddamn appointment to get it checked, I cancel it because I discover a new way to get relief. And I shouldn't say discover, because guys like Chris in Buffalo said to me, EZ, roll it out with a lacrosse ball. And basically, you lean up against a wall with a lacrosse ball in between you and the wall, and you kind of move on it, you know, and like kind of like Ashley on a penis. And you kind of rub it out, all right, for lack of a better term. And I found great relief with that. Boy, did it hurt doing it, though. And but nothing seems, that's just a temporary fix, and nothing seems to be getting better. And now, with great regularity, I will be sitting here, and right now my head is kind of angled down, but if I angle it up like this, what happens is, I can feel it getting very, very weak, and then I get pins and needles shooting through and to my thumb, index finger, and middle finger. These three, I feel pins and needles going through them, and the whole arm goes numb, and it's weak. But my concern is I go there, and they say, yeah, you're going to need physical activity or physical rehab. And I'm like, well, I can do physical rehab. And then I was talking to Matt Kuipers yesterday, and he goes, yeah, well, then that's when they say, if all they can give you is physical rehab for it, that's when you say, oh, yeah, thanks, I'll get right on it, and then just don't do it. God damn. So this is really starting to bug the shit out of me right now. Where did you play golf? Kenny writes. Why? On the golf courts, of course. Maize and Blue says, could be your neck. Yeah, it feels like something in there is what's causing that. Oh, did you hear that? Listen. Didn't do it. Kenny says, if you had gone to a chiropractor when we first told you, you'd be feeling better by now. I refuse to believe that hocus pocus. Except if I get a chiropractor on the show. Should have gone to a run and rug, says Bob. I don't know what a run and rug is. And then he backs it up with rub and tug. Yeah, I don't think that would have helped me, Bob, but thanks. All I need is videos of ducks, a duck with puppies. All right. In Louisiana, they have a unique punishment if someone does something terrible to a child. This is a fucked up story. The bad man raped a teenage girl. The bad man got the teenage girl pregnant. The mom, the little girl, well, she's 14, the young lady had the baby. So this is, I mean, what the fuck? The guy, Glenn Sullivan, 54-year-old dude pled guilty to four counts of second-degree rape on April 17th. Cops began investigating the dude in July of 22 when the lady, or I should say the young lady, she's 14 at the time, told the police that the dude had assaulted her multiple times. Well, I take it back. She told the cops in 2022, said she had been assaulted when she was 14. So I don't know how old she is now. So it might have been like before, well before 2022 when she was 14. I don't know. The assaults resulted in pregnancy. DNA tests confirmed that Sullivan was the father. The DA said Sullivan had also groomed the victim and threatened her and her family to prevent her from coming forward. So this is about as bad as it gets. So many of these types of cases go unreported because of fear. The strength it must have taken for this young woman to tell the truth in the face of threats and adversity is truly incredible, said the judicial district attorney in the news release. All right. So the judge gave him a sentence of 50 years in prison. Now, if that was it, I would not be talking about this. The story is not, I hate to say it, but that happens. This type of thing is common enough that this is not a big deal. But what makes this story unique is that the judge said, all right, 50 years, and the bad guy is like, oh, God, man, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, my God, I'm so terrible. I'm going to get 50 years behind bar. And then the judge said, and I am calling upon a 2008 law that says that what you've done falls into the parameter of this law, so you will be castrated. Sentenced to chemical castration. However, there's also a way that they can get it so that the guy who did it can not be chemically castrated, but physically castrated. And that's happening in this case. The plea, like they offered him a plea. You can get life in prison or whatever. I don't know why he took the plea. I wouldn't have taken the goddamn plea. But the plea, you can take the plea only if you agree to be physically castrated. And the idiot did. He agreed to it. Now, if I ever get in trouble for raping a teenager, guys, first of all, I wouldn't rape a teenager. But if I did, and they said, easy, we're going to give you 50 years in jail, and you got to be castrated, but you're only going to get 50 years if you agree to be physically castrated. We're going to cut your balls off. I would say, fuck you. The process will be carried out by the state's Department of Corrections, according to the law, but cannot be conducted more than a week before a person's prison sentence ends. Oh, wow. That means he wouldn't be castrated until the end of his 50-year sentence. Okay, well, there we go. That I thought it was, like, right then. However, if he does get out, he would be more than 100 years old. So they would, he'd get out and then he'd be like limping around like, oh, I'm free. I'm old. I'm free. Oh my God. And then okay, let's go cut your balls off. I really want him to live past, you know, to the end of the sentence. How great would that be? He's probably thinking, hey, you know, I probably won't even make it that far. So it doesn't matter. But if he's like a week out, he's 100 years old or whatever, and the time is winding down, he's going to get out of prison after 50 years in the year 2074. And they have to cut those old man balls off. Can you imagine how low his sack would be hanging? They could probably put his balls on a table and have him standing like, they could probably pull the balls out through that little slot where you put the food through in the cell. Just here, dangle your balls out. We're going to castrate you now. Jesus. Yeah, kind of, it's kind of fucking pointless. Who cares about the law? It should be like right then and there. Okay, here's the sentence. Now we're going to go cut your balls off and then make them like eat them or something like that. He would be 104 years old when they cut his balls off. That's kind of pointless. Bob says, it'll still get done, but now it'll be by the other inmates with a rubber band and a shank. Oh, God. That sounds horrible. All right. On today's Patreon podcast, I have to update you on the story of at a church nearby here. My God. They invited a local, not a church, a Catholic school affiliated with the church. They invited a local author to read to the kids. And he's a children's author. And it's a guy who wrote a book about, I forget what it is. I think it's called like, it's Pinky and Spike or something like that. And they're one's a dog and one's a duck, if you want to talk about, since we just talked about that. And their adventures together and all these cute illustrations. And the moral of the story is you always love your friends or whatever. And the guy's reading it to the kids. And that's it. He reads this book that he's to the kids. And then he walks out of the school. His buddy is the teacher. He has a pal. I don't know. I think it's a woman. She invited her pal in to read to the kids, local author so-and-so, and that's it. He closes the book, says, okay, bye, everybody. And then he leaves. Well, the goddamn priest at St. Joseph the Worker in, is it Beale City, Michigan? Yeah, Beale City, Michigan. The priest sends a letter out to all of the parishioners and all of the families that send their kids to the school. And said, well, hey, I got some news. I have failed you. I have to apologize. We let a gay man read to your kids. He's a gay man, and he read to our kids, and we do not like gay people. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. We cannot allow our kids to be exposed to the gays. Oh, my God. Well, the guy goes on TV, the author, and he's like, well, you know, he's the type of gay guy that's really sensitive, really sensitive. He's like the most sensitive chick ever. And he's sobbing about how hurt he is. And to top it all off, he's dying. He's got ALS and it's affecting his speech now. And it kind of sounds like he sounds like Biden a little bit, but imagine Biden being gay and crying. That's what this guy sounds like. And, it was just horrible. I have an update on this story. And I'm going to talk about it in the Patreon. So you gotta go there for free and sign up. If you're listening to the free podcast, you gotta hear the updates on this. Jesus, fuck. I still can't believe that even happened. So sign up for a free 7 days at patreon.com/Eric Zane. Thank you to Joe Martinez at A&E Heating and Cooling. Okay, we're starting. I turned mine on yesterday, Joe. I turned the AC on. Damn, it was muggy. 616-516-8579. Reach out to Joe Martinez. Got pins and needles in my hands again. My God, what the hell is wrong with me? Maybe I have ALS. Can you imagine if I have ALS? I'm telling you, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory if I have ALS. 616-516-8579 for A&E Heating and Cooling. They can tune up your AC for $79. You just got to call and schedule. As the season progresses, if you have not had this done recently, that is a lot of wear and tear. that has gone unchecked on your AC. It's like driving your car and then, you know how like you need your oil change at a certain point? That's like blowing past that by like 30,000 miles. Don't do that. That affects the life of the setup, and you don't want that to happen because it's expensive to replace an AC. 616-516-8579. Thank you, as always, to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Right now, you can get a 15-year fixed for about 5.5 if you can afford a 15-year fixed. You can get a 30-year fixed for about 6.6, I think, maybe 6.7. They're starting to trickle down a little bit. That will make it easier for people to get the mortgage dollars that they want and pay less on interest. However, if you can get in now with the dollar amount for your mortgage to buy the home you want, get after it, because then you're paying on your own home. Okay, because if it's not going to be a few years until the interest rates are down to the levels they were pre-pandemic, you want to have been paying on your home. Now, imagine this. If you've got a 30-year fixed at 6.6, let's say you get that today on a $300,000 house. You pay on it. It sucks because you've got more going out for interest. But in 3 years, it's 2.65. The money that you pay on a 15-year after you redo your mortgage to that lower rate will be very close to what you paid on the 30-year. Within $100 or so. Something to think about. And Mario can help you every step of the way. 231-332-6505. Get into a mortgage and get out of paying rent, for God's sake. Or if you're getting set to buy a new house, utilize my friends at the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage from anywhere in the U.S. And as always, thank you to Rick from TC Paintball. Spectacular. Talked to him earlier on the show. Folks, it's asshole of the daytime. I have a strong feeling I know who's going to be the asshole of the day. Friday, it was most blind people. Which, I saw this sign on the floor like yesterday, and I was like, I had to laugh. Asshole of the day, most blind people. It sounds so ridiculous. Okay. Asshole of the day, brought to you by TC Paintball. Congratulations to Christy Noem. That whole fiasco we talked about with her killing the goddamn dogs. Awful. Chris says, Governor Hottie psycho bitch. Congrats to you. That is my time. Thank you for being part of this show. Talk to you on Patreon. Thank you so much. Till next time. Bye-bye.